Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Rob Bussolari, and Sin City Steve here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And I believe, I don't know if you guys have seen him, but I did see DJ on the corner of Fremont and 4th selling his body to pay for those WrestleMania tickets. So,
well, he's not going to get a lot of money there. He's got to go to Tropicana.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you got to go to Trop, man. That's where you get the money.
Yeah, but it's just a pile of rocks now. So that's kind of uncomfortable.
No, I'm talking West Tropicana, where the Wild Wild West is by the Horleans. Okay, yeah. Cameron, yeah. By where the wrestling. See, that's where all the women is. What he needs to do is get his high heels going, get his wig done up, get his hair did right. Oh, girl, and he's going to look good, and he's going to be making that money. Okay, you better sell that ass.
What if Cat Williams was his pimp?
Ain't this some sad motherfucking shit here? Ain't nobody want to pay no premium dollars for some flabby old dude.
That's fucking awesome.
No, it is not awesome, sir. I thank you very much. This is disgusting, okay? People are paying money to have him keep his clothes on.
Pretty much.
Oh, let's see what was sweet this week.
What was not sweet was DJ's naked body, sir.
Steve, what is sweet this week?
So then, Kat, would you say that his naked body was savory then?
It looked like two ham hocks had been out in the sun for too long.
Oh, Jesus. Lord have mercy. Anyway, so what was sweet this week? Well, we were absolutely balls deep into the Continental Classic tournament this week. And that is what AEW programming revolved around in December of last year. And it definitely looks like as if that's going to be what we're going to be doing again this year. I'm all for it. The Continental Classic last year was good. This year, the match quality has been as good, if not better, in some instances. And especially this week. You had Kyle Fletcher and Kazuchika Okada that went out there on Collision in front of like 2,000 people maybe and had an absolute banger of a match. I mean, the match took place at a fucking Comic-Con in Columbus, Ohio. So, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, that was obviously what I'm going off of because that was, you know, we're talking about what was good. So we're going to talk about the matches. We're going to talk about the video packages, but I have to stress this. Kyle Fletcher getting probably one of the biggest wins of his career already in defeating Kazuchika Okada in an absolute banger of a fucking match. And that was just a couple of days removed from him defeating Shelton Benjamin in the tournament as well. So again, Kyle Fletcher is taking all the steps that he needs to take so that 2025 is his year. So yeah, that very well might be, but, in any event, yeah, everybody's stepped up their match quality so far in this tournament. But those were the standouts of this week for sure.
Rob,
Shinsuke freaking Nakamura out of nowhere with a whole new gimmick. He's coming out with the samurai outfit, walking down the ring. A more deserved champ we would not have at this current juncture. He's really putting a new shine on the United States title and really, you know, effectively wrestling and you know, improving his style too. I did want to mention, though, AEW. You mentioned the Shelton Benjamin match. To make Shelton Benjamin the Hurtson to get the babyface to the left of, you know, Kyle Fletcher is a huge task right now.
Yeah.
But Shelton Benjamin is going over as the babyface. It's also interesting now that you had the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal go on.
We'll talk about that shit later.
Yeah. And we got to see the return of a lot of faces. And we got a lot of people in the ring. So, you know, people like, if we're going to have Evil Uno and guys, are not necessarily dead. We're keeping some faces out in the back pocket and really using these battle royals as a testing ground to see who the fans are interested in. You know, let
what
that be.
What the fuck were you watching, dude? Let's get to it right now. That was the worst fucking piece of shit thing that was on TV this fucking week.
Well, we're going to get
to steal my fucking thunder. It was going to be fucking biblical when we got into that segment, but there we go. We just shot the load in the first segment.
I handicapped it. But we were treated to some good matches on Dynamite. SmackDown, we have still a lot of great stuff going on with the Bloodline. Who they're going after is a little strange now. They're just kind of being indiscriminate. Oh, yeah, we have new tag champions. That's kind of important because we took a babyface tag team and we finally had completely perversed Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, to do the low blow. No more Motor City Machine Guns. So now they're going to have to step up their game if they want to get their belts back. We're going to now see a shakeup in the tag division and make that maybe a B story, but an interesting B story, because I want to see something on the line and I want to see people emotionally invested. So that's what SmackDown did, because now you have the Street Profits emotionally invested, the Motor City Machine Guns, and of course DIY. So really good week in wrestling. Raw had some good stuff. I'm sure you've got something from Raw on your list.
Well, you got to start
his
off.
His list is made of Raw.
Well, no. There's some things that are just.
And there's a lot of Raw stuff going on with DJ right now.
Yeah. Apparently so, man. Those tickets don't pay for themselves.
Nope.
Rob, you got your question answered, and it wasn't that Kofi was going to turn on Xavier, or Xavier was going to turn on Kofi. They're both disgusting pieces of shit. And finally, the New Day is fucking heels. Thank God that, we can finally look at them and see they're just awful.
You made Big E cry.
They made Big E's wife fucking text a fucking message on X to say how fucking she was going to make dinner for each of them, make, vegan for Kofi and fucking child boy man food for Xavier. But, those guys are assholes.
Wait, was she going to give him like the chicken tendies like they do for Dominic?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Probably
shaped like Goku.
Yeah,
he's a big Dragon Ball fan. I met him. He's a huge Dragon Ball Z fan.
Well, speaking of Dragon Balls, DJ just I think made another $20. So one of the things that is again very look at the disorganization when it comes to AEW in terms of. They're not putting things in place, right? You just have these things that make kind of no sense. We'll get to that, of course. But one of the biggest things that WWE does, the little shit. On SmackDown, in the background, during a backstage segment, you see Dominic talking to Nick Aldis. And we don't know why. We just saw him go into the room with Nick, and they're doing this shakeup, where NXT, SmackDown, and Raw, they're going to be some moves onto, each other's shows because of the Netflix starting up in January. So, little things. Could we see Dominic and Liv heading to SmackDown possibly? These are the kind of cool things that they've been throwing in there, which has been spectacular. The Bloodline thing, it's interesting because first off, I think they're just pissed off and just beating people up, right? And that starts off, to kind of basically buy time right now, because three guys are now out from that fucking Hell in a Cell. Or that War Games, which is amazing. In the past, you really didn't hear of, major injuries. And three guys, I mean, these guys beat the fuck out of each other. So,
well, also when you, do a tsunami from the top of a three-story cage, that's going to, you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, I mean, you know, it just happened that he rolled the angle when it came down. Yeah. And then they were gracious enough to show it highlighted and up close so that we could all see his ankle just go raw. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Who got it worse? Did he get it worse, or did Mr. AEW broke his fibula on the Bang Bang Gang?
Oh, Juice Robinson?
Yep, Juice Robinson.
Yeah, Juice broke his leg 2 minutes into that match, by the way. Jesus. 2 minutes into the match, and he still finished the fucking match. Yeah. So that shows you how tough or how stupid Juice Robinson is.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, and all these guys did the same thing. They finished the match, too. You know, so I mean, the injuries happen. Honestly, breaking your actual leg is a little worse. You know, now Bronson Reed, I'm sure, being as massive as the dude is, breaking his ankle is not good. But there was good stuff in that. But the biggest thing this week was the NXT premium live event. And I'm telling you guys, fucking watch it. Watch it. Because it was probably one of the best fucking put together shows of five matches, that the whole Iron Survivor theory, you know, the concept of the match, always kind of skeptical about it. And both of them just fucking were wonderfully done, executed amazingly. The use of the penalty box, Ethan Page. First off, the men, you had Obafemi was the surprise entrant because Eddie Thorpe got taken out. And Obafemi came in, and at some point, Obafemi gets pinned by Ethan Page, gets put in the penalty box, and then Ethan Page gets rolled up and pinned. And now he has to go in the penalty box with Obafemi. And it was just, it was like watching a fucking, he was screaming, let me out of here. He knows he's about to get destroyed. It was beautifully done. Javon Evans was just fucking flying all over the place and doing stuff that your body should not be able to do. Obafemi is now the number one contender. The women's side, oh my God, those five women tore it up. Ren Sinclair plays the perfect I shouldn't be here type of character. Is she a heel or is she a face? I don't know. They're kind of in a gray area with that the real Blackpool Combat Club with Charlie Dempsey there. But the women just did an amazing job, and boy, they are pacing that eventual Stephanie Julia showdown. You know that it did at some point that match is going to be for the title, and it's fucking crazy. But I'll tell you, the NXT Underground taking down the ropes in the ring, I've always thought that they've just come up short on those matches, those blood sport type matches, and this was the first time Lola Vice and Jada Parker fucking killed that match. And they really fucking laid it into each other and made it look fucking impressive, told the story. Trick had an amazing match with Rich Holland, but go and watch the tag team championship match. So Nathan Frazier was in the Iron Survivor match, the first match of the night, and essentially got his nose kind of probably busted open, broken, whatever. His ribs might have been a little hurt. So he was taped up and stuff. And the whole concept was Axiom was probably going to have to carry the load. And these two had so many near falls, and it looked like, you know, of course they were going to lose. They retained. It was probably one of the best matches of the fucking year, period. Yeah. And these kids from, Charlie Dempsey's stable, they fucking showed up and impressed. So, Steve and Rob, you guys, you like AEW wrestling? This was that type of wrestling.
Mm.
It really was. you did not know what the fuck was going to happen. And in all logical sense, they should have lost the tag titles. So, you know,
the one show I feel guilty about not watching as religiously as I used to is TNA, because TNA keeps impressing. And then I catch it later on and go, damn it, this is the one I don't want to like double watch, because sometimes I'll watch one show and then have a video game or something else in the background. I don't want that to be. TNA should not be background, then they're underrated, grossly underrated.
This week TNA had a fairly just, you know, typical television show, kind of setting up some stuff that's going to be coming up for their December pay-per-view.
AJ Francis is going to wrestle for the world title.
Yeah.
Jordynne Grace lost to Tasha Steelz. The Hardys retained against the System.
Yeah.
You got some interesting stuff going on over there.
Yeah, and the Hardys and the System, they're going to do a table ladders chairs match on December 14th.
I'm scared of hearing that because of Jeff Hardy's like a magnet to injuries these days. So in the last few years, so I'm really scared about.
They just had one with Chris Bay.
Yeah, I know. And
everything was great. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's some great things going on there. All right. So that was what we found too sweet. All right. Let's just get to it. The big what the fuck's going on this week, man. All right. Fucking, you know what? Let's start with Rob. Rob, what the fuck did you find?
I was being nice about, you know, that they highlight a couple. No, that big clusterfuck match on AEW for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, where we know it was going to end with people from the Undisputed Kingdom. See, it was so bad, he just left, Matt. That's how bad it was. That Battle Royal. And here was the thing. Usually they do the gauntlet match, and then they have the match right after. They just abruptly stopped. That, sure. I didn't understand. I didn't know. Usually they do the Battle Royal, and then the last two guys will have a regular match. They just kind of stopped flat. I don't know if you guys got that feeling, but I was like, wait a minute. And also, here's my confused thing. If this guy's part of the conglomeration, why is he suddenly a heel? Why is Kyle O'Reilly kind of being a heel? He's the part of the conglomeration. He doesn't come out. No conglomeration people come out there to help him. He just goes out there on his own now being a heel. And the guys who were heels all the way along, they're not doing anything, by the way. Taven and Bennett aren't doing a damn thing. They haven't done anything as heels or babyfaces. They're just there. And now they're following Adam Cole. And they didn't need to do all of this other bullshit. They could have just had those two guys. MJF could have just said, hey, you know what? Fuck all these other guys. You two want this? This is how you get it. I'm going to skip it. I get to call the shots. You want my ring. You two fight amongst yourselves and see who's the most loyal. And then really pit them against each other instead of all of the other fluff. But, and me trying to be positive, you know, put some of these losers out there and see if the audience cheers for any of them. You know, maybe a little pop for Evil Uno, who got immediately thrown out, dressed up like Mankind, no less, with the t-shirt and the tie. Don't know what that was all about. And we use that to set up a little feud between all of the guys of Top Flight and Action Andretti and Leo Rush, who will both be off the company within a year. So, you know, we set up some little things that will probably be lost in a shuffle 4 or 5 months down the road. We'll completely have forgot about it. So, you know, it was, you know, stuff happened. Served no relevance to the storyline of just setting Undisputed Kingdom members against each other, even though none of them were Undisputed Kingdom 2 weeks ago. So,
Steve, what the fuck?
All right. So, from the beginning of this Dynamite Diamond Dozen Battle Royal bullshit match, okay, they really only established two people as possible winners of the match. Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, seriously, though, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. That's it. Okay. And just to solidify it, they didn't give anybody else entrances except those guys. Okay. So that's red flag number two. Okay. And then so think about this. Imagine if you were there live and you were watching this show and you saw that there's a battle royal for a Dynamite Diamond Ring opportunity or whatever the fuck, however they phrased it. Okay. Imagine that. And then you have stereo eliminations to get down to the final two. No one popped for it because a battle royal ends with one person standing in the ring, not two. So obviously everybody was just like, what the fuck happened here?
Ended. It didn't make sense. It just ended and they stared at each other.
Yeah.
They were confused.
I don't understand how they can consistently fuck up creative with this whole Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, MJF, Roddy Strong, Undisputed Kingdom. Like, I don't get how they can just fuck that up on a recurring basis every single week. Yet seemingly do. And they have all year.
Steve, the only way they can fuck it up more is if they took all of those guys and sent them to the green door to fuck.
Bro, don't give them any ideas. Don't give them any ideas. Because next thing you know, they'll be doing a vignette.
The green door snap towel match.
Jesus. Okay. And the truth of the matter is that what made me, I think, the most furious about it was you put those two guys. Now, Adam Cole, like you said, he got the entrance. He does his thing where he's standing on the fucking ring apron, right? When you look at Adam Cole on that ring apron and you see what's behind him, Adam Cole looks like a 12-year-old boy, okay? So now this boy is about to win this goddamn fucking battle royal with another guy who looks like a 12-year-old boy. Yes, they have Rob Bosselary arms. Now, the problem with this, that you have them and I agree, what the fuck is up with Evil Uno and that? Jesus Christ, it's Mankind in a gimp.
Might as well be.
They needed to play the music from the gimp music.
Pulp Fiction. Hey, oh, Rob is a real boy. Aw. You finally made it, Pinocchio.
I'll keep lying to you and we'll get nice and hard.
Oh, God, I want to see your nose grow. And, you know, you can see TJ's nose grow for $20 out in the corner of Tropicana and
Procyon. That's where they go. Or yeah. Valley View, you know.
So my biggest problem is that instead of having it logically, you know, eliminate some shit guys or whatever. No, you had them absolutely, totally fucking obliterate the idea that Brian Cage and Lance Archer mean anything at all in this company. And that outside of Kyle Fletcher being with good old Don, there's no reason for Don Callis to be on the show or for anyone to be with him. Holy shit.
Lance Archer was eliminated off camera. They panned away when he got eliminated. And then I went, wait, is he gone? And they didn't even make a big, they went, Lance Archer's gone.
It's gotten so bad that Wheeler Yuta's beard has gone onto Brian Cage's face. So
yeah, what's that?
That's how bad.
And know that is not a euphemism.
That's the one thing with AEW wrestlers. Usually, if you change your look, you're supposed to do that sparingly because you're a character. You're supposed to be able to market you as a certain look. If I buy your action figure, you're going to look exactly like that action figure. If you have a tattoo, the lot of wrestling, WWE is strict with tattoos because I'm trying to market you as you are. AEW doesn't give a fuck anymore. These guys are.
No. And so, I mean, that it's just, and the smartest out of all of it is just MJF just doing vignettes. Doesn't have to fucking wrestle or do anything because it's so fucking ridiculous. Now, the other thing on that show,
he is still filming a movie. So, I mean, that explains his absence, but yeah.
Of course. But he doesn't have to suffer through this nonsense. And, you know, this is, it's so fun. Honestly, let's be realistic. You took a group that was white fucking hot in NXT. And you've really shit the bed with them. You know, Tony.
It's called the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Well, I mean, it feels like someone has MS in that company because it is not it's fucking hard to watch sometimes, you know. And point being, what is Adam Page? Why is he existing? What the fuck is this now that out of nowhere, Adam Page comes to help Orange Cassidy and Jay White? And now we're getting what? Adam Page versus John Moxley? Why?
No, it's going to be a four-way at the pay-per-view.
And here's my thing, though. He's an angry baby face.
With the porn star,
that makes no fucking sense.
He's like violently angry, helping, but at least he's not going to go anywhere. But at least Brody King is over.
Yeah, over 400 pounds.
Yeah, he's over with the fans helping out. You know, Darby Allin. So why don't they just bring Darby Allin into that faction, into the House of Black? You know, just have him go full goth, dye his hair black, you know, put the face paint crap over his eyes, tell him to get rid of the panties.
They're probably waiting for the fact that the House of Black will end up leaving at the end of their contracts
Malachi definitely will. Buddy just signed a new deal though. So he's around for quite a while. And Brody, honestly, I don't think that he would be
taken. What would they do with him?
Brody's staying there. I mean, they're going to
Brody's going to be sticking around. So Malachi is going to go and he's going to hang out with, you know, Trips again and be pushed to the moon in WWE.
It's just okay. So you get rid of Malachi, you give Darby Allin some blacker pantyhose and you're good to go. And he could sit there and do evil pom-pom stuff with Julia Hart. Yeah, it's perfect.
Julia will actually be bigger on screen than Darby. Yeah,
that's great. But it's that whole idea of Mox and Hangman Page. Just really, Hangman Page was arguably your least marketable champion. It did not work out.
Virginia's for lovers. Remember he came out with that shirt and he's you know, he had the tassels and he was upbeat and coy and just happy.
The anxious millennial cowboy.
Yeah. Who is now apparently the disgruntled
he's a Gen Xer with angst, you know. He might as well just come out with like grunge outfit and look like he's trying to listen to Nirvana.
But you know, it's just like, why are we putting Swerve with fucking, you know, right? It makes no sense.
So they set up all these scenarios by which all these people would want vengeance on these guys who screwed them over. Swerve didn't take any vengeance over Hangman Adam Page. He gets fucked over by Lashley. Doesn't take vengeance over Lashley. And then the MVP who wanted Swerve to be in his stable and to beat, the idea would be, I keep beating you up until you become one of my, you know, my freaking heavies, one of my hands, doesn't do it. He drops the ball and just leaves him now. So what we have is a bunch of factions. They're all heels simultaneously until we need them to be a babyface for a week or two, which is the ultimate what the fuck. Because if we're going to make, and again, I say this, if you're going to make Shelton Benjamin a babyface and have him get a screw job loss, the only way that guy can stay face as a heel now is if he tries to go back over and screw over Don Callis's family. So unless you're going to have a full-blown feud between MVP and Don Callis, which would be an excellent battle of mic skills between the two, where we can actually have one guy go on the collision, have the other guy go on Dynamite, and you could call it whatever you will. You have Don Callis be the voice of Dynamite. You have MVP be the voice of Collision. You can have the two guys fight. Call it the whites or it's the blacks, whatever the fuck you want to do. But have these guys feud and then have people pick their sides and go, hey, Mr. Montel, I'd like to join your group. Please, please. I know how to scissor. You know, hey, Mr. Montel, my Haitian immigrant freaking manager over here is dropping the ball. He let my house burn down to the ground. Please, please make me relevant again. Please, Mr. MVP, I'll pay for your hair dye. His hair is white. I've met him. His hair is ghostly white. Mr. Montel Vontavious Porter. Met him at Rebar on his hair is white.
So, first off, I think we just learned about your is that what's going on inside of you, Rob? That black versus white struggle?
Well, I don't want to know about anything inside of Rob.
All right. Well, some weeks it's Don Callis, and guess what, Tony? This is going to be one of the greatest shows, and if you would just shut your mouth, we can all enjoy it. If you want to see the best of AEW, watch it on their stream, where you can literally hear them telling Shivani to shut the fuck up. It is one of the most depressing things because Shivani starts crying as soon as they go to commercial and they keep streaming on their other platform. You know what you guys really mean to me? And we're back! And then he goes, you know what? That was a great point you made there. It's the greatest thing to listen to when they literally tell him you're fucking terrible at your job. Listen to the commentary on the commercial breaks. Shivani is terrible, and they all know he is. I don't know what deal he struck. I guess he has some, you know, Ted Turner had gave him some lifetime deal, but they give it to him real good and insult the shit out of him during the commercial breaks. You have to listen to it. It is really morbid. Do you not like me, Taz? I swear to God, he did that. When it's like, you know, you're always making fun of me, Taz. And it was just, he was about to cry. It's really, I'm not being facetious. He really fucking does that. He starts crying during the commercial breaks.
If I had to work for that company, I think I'd be doing the same thing. Unfortunately. Well,
then the funny thing is Excalibur says nothing. He tries.
Of course not.
He tries to call it straight. And once in a while, he'll give fucking Shivani a zinger. Well, you'll get one of these right. You're like just they'll keep throwing zinger, and we're back. And listen, because then he'll go, wow, that was a great point you made, because he knows he doesn't have any fucking commentary skills. He's one notch below Michael Cole. I fucking hate
Michael Cole. And we know how much you love Michael Cole.
Things are about to get broken. Oh, God. They're coming out in their regular fucking costumes, you piece of shit. Stop
so
fucking teasing.
For everything, not gonna happen. For everything you're giving Cole, let's just say this SmackDown, when he got in the car with Kevin Owens.
He redeemed himself.
Everything, yeah.
He redeemed himself.
It was fucking... It felt like you were watching a fucking Scorsese film where he was about to get hit by the mafia, man. It was just...
Could Kevin Owens just put a silencer on? He was, you know, just two in the back of the head. Then he just walks out with some cannolis and shovels them in. That would be great. That would be fucking great. Michael Cole and then Pat McAfee runs in crying. Oh, no. It'd be great.
The beauty
put
of
head in Matt and Pat McAfee's bed. McAfee wakes up with silk sheets, and there's Michael Cole's severed head. Be great.
I think the beauty of him getting
he's got that Michael Cole connection right there. That Tony Schiavone internet company.
out of the car. And Shivani... Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Pretty soon you're going to be on the street corner trying to get some money for your better internet connection. Go, you there, DJ. Hey, you want some of this? Hold on.
That ain't the money ain't solving this shit. Unfortunately. No, we need a new house that doesn't have an obstructed fucking whatever that causes the fucking interference. You know, I would go to Verizon. Drive down
Vegas, I'm going to see a big satellite dish on the top of your house. It's going to look like the shit they use to protect the Death Star. It's going to see a massive satellite dish. And DJ's going to be walking out in front of it. Hey, yo, man, $20, man. I'm just 1,000 more of these, and I'll get to pay for half of it.
Cannoli. Cannoli is a code word for what DJ is offering. So,
hey, officer, man, I'm just selling cannolis right here, man. $20, cannoli. Man. Just let me in the back seat and well, and you get to have the cannoli.
It's Greenfield.
Hey!
Remember
that joke, Shivani?
I've got Tony in my ear feeding me the.
They tell him that it's a cream filled. Yeah, it's a good joke, eh, right? Hey, Tez. Hey, Excalibur, do you like that joke?
Why does Hook get a microphone?
You know, I would love it if somebody would actually be the mouthpiece for him, because yeah, that guy, whenever he does get on the mic, it sounds like he's got a mouth full of like marbles and he just cannot enunciate. You can say that that's part of his gimmick. You can say whatever you will about it, but it's not good. It's not good at all.
Let me say one thing.
Let him end up getting beaten down by Christian Cage's patriarchy and have him align with Christian Cage after all this bullshit's done. That will be a good end to this whole little mini storyline.
It's unfortunate that all of the New Yorker personalities that ended up on AEW, the guys, Big Bill really can't talk. He sounds like he's got peanut butter in his mouth. You know, a wise man once said, Chris Jericho, that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And it's like fucking Hooked on Phonics for fucking Brooklyn people. It's really bad. And the thing is, Taz was never the greatest talker when he was wrestling, but he became a good commentator.
Yeah.
And it really didn't carry over to his son, because his son does not know how to, he has no timing, no anything going on. He would have been better to.
Those Taz promos from old ECW, though, those were fucking fire. So he was in his pocket there. It was when he went to WWE that miraculously he couldn't cut a promo. But continue, man. I didn't mean to step on you.
No. I did that to you, really. I am sorry. But no, those New Yorker guys, unfortunately, most of them, all of them, really do not know how to cut a promo. They try to come off as tough guys. But that's the thing. When a lot of those guys... Go watch any of those Scorsese movies. A lot of the guys who sound like that are sitting in the background. A lot of the guys like that on all of your Soprano stuff, they never speak or freaking speak. Christopher Moltisanti, he said two things. I thought you said spider. Don't get a drink. That's what they all sound like. So don't give him a mic. Have somebody speak for him. He should have stuck with Jericho. He should have been given a lower belt and have other people fight for him. Okay, that's why Ricky Starks was a tag team. Ricky Starks is doing a lot of the speaking for Big Bill, because Big Bill couldn't do it.
And of course, we can't have Ricky Starks on TV ever at all.
What the fuck is Jericho doing?
Dude, we got a whole nother show to talk about that shit.
The Hammerstein Ballroom.
Hey, I do have to say, though, having Matt Cardona in the AEW, I hate to say universe, but like it in ROH, hopefully that does get him some more TV time where he deserves to be. Matt Cardona is such a criminally underused guy, and I don't understand why he's floating in a sea of mediocrity and obscurity right now. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me at all.
Well,
so for him to challenge Jericho at Final Battle is great.
But Cardona, that's by his choice. That's all his choice.
Mid Cardona.
He's making so much fucking money by not being with a company and being able to do whatever the fuck he wants. It's all choice, man.
And then when he feels like it, he could just bang Chelsea Green on, some of the times where their tours there end and everything lines up, because that Roadhead, he's good, man.
Did you just say he's good at Roadhead?
No, he's getting that Roadhead from Chelsea Green.
Oh, I thought you knew something that we didn't know.
Oh. Well, sometimes they didn't have to invite Piper Niven in, so.
give you the old Niven. Rob, you are a fan of Lexi King there. He wasn't on the premium live event and cut a promo where he, was talking about how he wasn't on the event, didn't make the Iron Survivor match, and but still showed up in Minnesota. Because obviously, his dad's connection to Minnesota and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking great.
Yeah.
It was one of the best promo things he's ever fucking done. So, you might want to catch that shit. Since, you can just throw on the cock and, strap it on and check it out.
Strap on the cock, huh?
Yeah.
My mind went immediately to DJ and things he's doing to pay off those tickets. Jesus.
Roadhead is how you test his driving skills.
Yep. I'll tell you right now, I'd probably die. Somebody offered once and I was like, and I'm on Route 93 in upstate Nevada. I don't want to take a chance. It's not worth it.
We talked about our two sweets or what the fucks. Let's do a little look out, Rob. What are you looking out for?
I've called this a few times, and they really took a swerve. The New Day. How do you now have these guys as heels? Who do they go after first? Because it's open playing field for them. And do you incorporate Big E? I'm under the impression that he is genuinely never going to be medically cleared. I was really excited at the prospect of him coming out as a manager. That segment when he said, I'll come out every week as your manager. Everyone in that arena was like, yes, this is what we wanted. I was fist pumping the air. I'm like, that's what I've been waiting for, is to have a unified New Day, him coming out with them. I said that last week. And now it's an open playing field. I want to see who they're going to challenge first, and I want to get some belts on these guys ASAP. All right? I want them to be the best heels. Have them go after all of the guys in Judgment Day. Get those belts. Judgment Day, for that matter. They've driven the wedge between Dom and Finn Balor effectively well. Finn Balor is not happy. He needs to just go off and get out of the Judgment Day. It's about time they dissolve the Judgment Day.
We might be looking at it because of the fact that Dom was talking over with all this. So
yeah,
might not be too far off here.
The interactions between Finn Balor and Liv Morgan, it makes me wonder if behind the scenes if they really were not gelling behind the scenes or as had enough chemistry as a group. But it is interesting to see, because then what do you do with Carlito? There's a lot of other elements there. But I do want to see the Judgment Day dissolve. It's been going on. It doesn't have that same staying power to me as
anyone in the company is going, you know, God, what are we going to do with Carlito?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, how long before he shows up at TNA with, like, a pair? You know, I'm like, oh, you can't use the apple, buddy. Calm it down. You know, Los Carlitos, you know, right? But so you got that. DIY, very good. I'm more interested in Shinsuke. I'm very interested. I like the promos. I like the new entrance. If you're going to go full on with the Japanese culture element to it, I didn't care for the Mist, but fuck it. He is on fire right now. Strap a rocket to him. I would almost want to see him eventually go into the IC realm eventually within 2025. He's just really good. But you know what it is?
IC belt and the US belt are the same thing, just on different shows.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. One can only be defended in the United States. The other can be defended on other continents.
Once in a while, I go old school and I'm thinking like the way it used to be, where that was like, but he's made it super goddamn relevant and he's put a great shine on it. I love it. I love what they're doing with him. For AEW, there's nothing to look forward to.
I thought tickets go on sale for Dallas now for that July show.
Mm-hmm. Like, so what? Here's my thing. When they zoom in on the first five rows, you know, I want to be wrong. Tony, here, look, yeah, I know you don't know me. Okay. I'm one of the funniest guys in Las Vegas at impersonating you and Trump and Cat Williams and Obama. And, you know, it's not funny anymore, dude. You got to put down the blow, and you know you have a show that you're spending a lot of daddy's money for. Okay, you're not Elon Musk. Okay, no one's tapping you to run any of the governmental bodies, and you've never put a rocket into space. You have had a lot of duds. It's about the only similarity. But we need you to kind of focus on the show now. If you can get like a clone of Cody Rhodes to run the show, that'd be great, dude. You know, that'd be fantastic. You know, you don't have to do much. He'll bleed a little bit on Netflix. And then you just get a little bit of his blood. You get a Cody Rhodes clone. And he could sit there and do the show for you. You don't have to lift a finger. And once in a while, we'll send you over to TNA. And you can wear those hard sunglasses like, you know, Ace Austin. Cut a couple of promos. Take them off, look coked up again. It'll be great for you, dude. You know? And everybody else will do the work, man. You could just take, dude, it's like Donald Trump. Everybody else can do the work. You take all the credit, man. You know, it's like it's the art of the steal. Okay. It's the art of the steal. Okay. Tony, it's going to be great. Okay. You see what I did there? It's going to be great. And you do none of the work. And then you can do Hunter Biden all day long. You could do Hunter Biden day in and day out. No one will ask any questions. Okay. It's going to be terrific. Get the fuck out. Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, Steve, what are you looking forward to?
So I have to disagree with you, Rob. There's quite a bit to look out for in AEW. I know that I mentioned the Continental Classic to kick off the show, but of course that tournament is going to end at World's End. As of right now, Kyle Fletcher leading the Blue League. Daniel Garcia and Kazuchika Okada are in second, tied for second with 4 points. Over in the Gold League, Claudio is actually leading the way with 6. And then you've got virtually everyone else in the league except for Commander with 3 points. So, if you look at the people who haven't gotten a single point in the tournament, it's Mortos and Commander. Huh? If you were to actually, you know, look at the list of the names in each side, which guy is going to be the job guy in each tournament? Yeah, you would easily be able to tell that Mortos and Commander would be eating pins for everyone else. So outside of that, though, they have changed.
You know who's eating a lot of pins right now?
He's down on Tropicana. Jesus.
It took him a while.
Good God.
He took out the surprise roll-up.
Uh-oh, we just got code here. Go, go, Wrestle Rangers.
A lot of schoolboys.
Mr. Speedball, Mike Bailey, what do you have to say about the current state of...
You know what? This is just one of the greatest matches ever, and I was just really happy. We're going to bring a lot of energy. It's going to be positive. It's going to be fun. Go, go, AEW TNA. Yeah.
God, I can't wait until we show him some of this footage and he kicks the shit out of you. It's going to be so great.
I'm going to dress up as Donald Trump. It's going to go viral when he's kicking the crap out of Trump. I'm going to post it immediately. I have no teeth left. You know, Trump's going to see that, deport his ass back to Canada immediately. I'm going to be like, Donald, deport back to Canada. Somebody tells me that we've got an illegal Canadian immigrant, a Chinese national who snuck in from the Canadian border and he came in with a mullet. He tried to look like he was from the South. We caught him right away and he's going to be extradited back to Little China. Okay, not Big China, Little China. That's where he came from. He came from Little China.
Steve, what else are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, how do I even follow that shit? Regardless, I want to see how the Continental Classic ends up. And then, as we kind of referred to earlier, we're going to get the four-way match at World's End between Moxley, Orange Cassidy, Hangman Page, and Switchblade. You know, I can only hope that some decent things come out of that match. And who knows, maybe we get a Christian Cage cash-in after that shit, and this whole Moxley storyline can go away. Oh, wait, that's right. We already know how this shit's going to end. And that's with Darby Allin winning the world title off of Moxley at Revolution. So, I mean, this shit's going to go on at least until March.
Will he get golden pantyhose if he wins?
Probably. But, you know, that'd be somewhat out of character for the guy, because I don't think he owns any other color of, you know, clothing besides black and even darker black. But, you know, well, outside of that pretty pink little fluffy hoodie that he loves to wear. You know, outside of that, you know, realistically, I do want to see what's up next for Swerve Strickland. I mean, this guy had the world championship and then gets squashed by Lashley, and then he's faded into obscurity and mediocrity, and there's no real path for this guy. I mean, at least have him doing something. Yes, he squashed Max Caster on Dynamite, but again, that's Max fucking Caster. What do we do? What are we going to do with this guy? So hopefully they have a plan for him, but, you never know. Yeah, we'll see what happens with World's End, but yeah, they have laid the pieces, and I do have to say, I'm looking forward to seeing more vignettes. They did run a vignette for Bandido, which I thought was extremely well done. But again, they're kind of tiptoeing around, you know, a formula, but they won't just commit to doing the shit that's worked over on the other channel. You know, they're trying so hard to be a disruptor brand, which I have all the respect in the world for, but take what works elsewhere, mold it into your own. That's what they did with the Continental Classic. The G1 tournament was the most prominent round robin tournament in professional wrestling. So what did Tony do? He took something, brought it to AEW, made it their own, gave it a brand identity, and it's gotten rave reviews from the people that have actually, you know, given it a shot and watched it. But and why can't you do that with anything else? Why can't you do that with anything else? Maybe developing your characters. I mean, we're starting to see things, but again, they're just tiptoeing around it. They're not committing to actually building characters and launching narrative-based storylines.
And this is the one thing. When we did this with Tony Storm.
It is commitment issues, Jamie.
When we had Tony Storm, we had a genuine character. We had somebody that took and crafted a character, and we replaced her with a watered-down version who was trying to be her. Then they abandoned that, and now the thing is, she's just not trustworthy. Mariah May's character is, I'm not trustworthy.
Hey, bro, you give me Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa on TV, I'm watching whatever fucking channel it's on. I don't give a damn. So...
Right, but then what do you do after that's over? If you give it to Mina Shirakawa... It's going to be very difficult.
Anyway.
Oh,
but yes. What do you do after that? No one knows. really no one fucking knows, because they've proven themselves to be so unstable with anything to do with creativity. You had the Camille Mercedes storyline, which was doomed from the beginning, and they chose to keep on pushing that shit out. And eventually they just said, fuck it. And supposedly Mercedes was actually the one that put the kibosh on that. If rumors are true, we all know how the internet works, but it's ridiculous, man.
We also know how Mercedes works. So don't put it past her. Listen, this past collision probably saw more character development than the company has ever seen. And that's because they were in a cosplay hall around people who actually have characters.
Dude, they ran vignettes. They ran fucking vignettes. They're doing vignettes at the start of every show to get people caught up on the C2. Why don't they do that every single fucking week? Take the first 3 minutes of your show and run a video package on what happened the week before to get people caught up. Have product synergy across your shows. We've been screaming from the rooftops for years on this shit. They're starting to do it, but like I mentioned, they're not committing to the shit, and it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating because they've got the formula, but they don't take the step.
The thing is, they constantly tease bigger possible payoffs, and then not that they have a bad answer or a bad ending. They have no ending. They have no endings. Why do we have a guy with, again, I'll say it again, it's another week and Moxley's angry and Marina Shafir's got a suitcase. What's in it? When you have a suitcase in wrestling, there's supposed to be a contract in it. You already won. Why do you need a suitcase? And you should be leaving us a trail of breadcrumbs as to maybe why you have this.
Because Rick Rude used to carry the suitcase for the DX when he was with them, but they can't afford a Rick Rude type, so they just made China carry the briefcase with, you know, Triple Mox.
And why did you have Darby Allin try to commit vehicular manslaughter and then drop that immediately? Maybe they bring him back. Maybe he's not gonna. I mean, he's not gonna win the fucking belt unless Sting comes out with a baseball bat and runs interference. But I mean,
the vehicular manslaughter got dropped because the charges weren't brought up. Come on, Rob.
But that's what I'm saying. It's really just too many things happening and no payoff. So that's it.
You know, Jamie would have wrestlers in gimp suits and dog collars if she designed characters.
Oh, wait a minute. That's what all of the women look like when they go to fucking Crown Jewel. They got them all in leather outfits. They all look like gimp dominatrix. Tell me how that's more family friendly than having them show their arms. Like, what the flying? Really? This is I swear to God, these guys have, it's not about any values. They're really fucking sadists over there. And then this is where they're getting off. You know how many loads were dropped over there in Saudi Arabia when those women all came out like gimp costumes? Good Lord.
Okay, yeah, that's probably about as many as been dropped on DJ within the last 45 minutes.
You think he's got, like, does he carry one of those little thermometer things where, every time he just pencils in with a little magic marker a little bit closer?
Oh my God.
Or is it like an all black backdrop and he just keeps, doing a little whiteout in there each time?
I don't know, but WrestleMania has definitely got to be worth it, because if it's not,
I don't think he's going to make it to that freaking one-on-one, golf outing with The Miz. He's going to be too tired. He's going to be shooting those freaking things from a fucking wheelchair.
Or don't worry. It's not The Miz. Remember, it's The Zim. So his eyes won't be looking straight. They'll be crossed. So he'll think it's The Miz.
My name's The Miz and I'm good.
Something to look out for is Saturday night's main event. This coming Saturday, the 14th. Mm. And we get to see Mr. Ventura do his, I think, 24th or 25th Saturday night's main event. So to see the body back, you know, the Minnesota ties this week were really good. You know, Tiffany Stratton getting a win in Minnesota, seeing Ventura there. You know, Lexi King, you know, mentioning being in Minnesota. Kevin Owens not wanting to be in Minnesota ever again. Very, very good point. Good guy. Good guy, that Kevin Owens. I like him. But you know what? One thing we didn't give credit to is Cody Rhodes and fucking Chad Gable. Holy shit.
Smackdown. You know,
yeah, and again, you know how it's always like, oh, well, it's the same guys facing each other and blah, blah, blah. You know, you get something like this and you realize that's right. This is in their promo on each other on, you know, Shorty G. Well, you're looking at Stardust. It's like, this is great. This is exactly what needs to happen, where you have the growth of, again, they don't have to be major players, but, you know, Chad Gable has given so much life into these different, you know, stories that it's just wonderful to see a guy like him who shouldn't be a heavyweight champion. I don't even think he really needs an IC belt or anything like that, but he is definitely a guy that you could put in the ring with someone, but you can also put a mic in his hand and he could carry himself. And it makes, you know, sense. And I think that that's very, you know, just telling right now that you can just have some fucking great matches, but you can also have great setup to the matches. And that's why it makes sense, as opposed to just all of a sudden having some guy come out who's, you know, oh, wow, it's so-and-so from Japan, who 90% of your audience, who if they
tune in next week, it's the Stone Pitbull. It's the Stone. Oh, God, look at him chop. He's chopping. He's chopping. Hold on, we're back from commercial. And the Stone Pitbull, Ishii. Sometimes it's a Ishii or Ishii. They don't know what his last name is. It's been like fucking year and a half. They still don't know what his last name is.
He's finished his run, right? He's going back to Japan now, right? I believe.
Yeah, and
yeah, yeah. He did his job for Jericho, so now he's going back to New Japan.
Yeah. So, which again, you know, again, we're going to see what the new year looks like in Japan. With some of the things that both companies are going to be doing with Japanese companies. It's going to be interesting. And we'll see if Kenny Omega can make it through 2025.
Yeah.
And if not, oh, don't worry. He's got Hangman Adam Page right there to come in and step up.
Would it be messed up if right after Kenny Omega's first match, the commercial break, that first one would be ulcerative colitis commercial? Do you have to keep taking breaks to the bathroom? Do you have to stop midway between a match?
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Let's get to the final little thing here. Best in show, Steve, Dynamite. Okay. Rob, Dynamite. Okay. So
SmackDown.
I was actually going to say Collision this week.
Oh, okay.
Even though it was in front of 2,000 people at a fucking Comic-Con, it was the better of the two AEW shows. Well, the better of the three AEW shows. But the in-ring was great. They established characters. They tried to build those characters through vignettes, through promos. That's what you do in a fucking wrestling show. I don't get it. Apply that same formula every week and just watch the results. That's all I'll say.
And it helps when you have Xena and Kevin Sarbo impersonators sitting.
not to mention fucking Corbin Burnson, bro. Roger Dorn sitting ringside.
Mm.
Yeah, unfortunately, he had to go to Lou and say, is this in my contract? Do I actually have to do this?
Do I have to be here?
Rob, so SmackDown for you?
Actually, I just thought about it. Raw gave us that great New Day segment on with the other matches. So I'm going to go Raw.
Yeah. And NXT, by far, like I said, seriously, you know, you guys need to check out that show, because again, 2 25-minute matches with the Iron Survivors, okay. You know, that book ended 3 matches, and I think the pay-per-view is just under 3 hours, and I'm telling you, the Minnesota the atmosphere, the arena was perfectly picked. It just really worked. Everything on that worked, which is amazing, since, you know, when you think about it, really the idea of this brand kind of building, and it's becoming its own entity, which you know, it's not much of a really a feeder program as much as it is kind of that now. Oh, Vegas exclusive NXT January 7th in LA at the Shrine.
Mm.
There you go. And I think they hinted at that. They did on the pay-per-view, because Tiffany confronted Ava and almost basically teased that it's going to be Tiffy time, possibly, for Roxanne or, you know, Stephanie, whoever wins the championship. She played with the idea of maybe going there to cash in. So, yeah, you know, it's pretty fucking awesome just to see what NXT is doing and what's going to happen in the new year.
Or Jade Cargill could walk out with high heels and a neck brace and beat the hell out of Tiffany Stratton. The briefcase and take the money from the winnings and go get a doctor.
Or she can walk around with Triple H and hit people with the briefcase with nothing in it. So.
Well fucking played.
And another breaking story. AEW cashed in on Juan Soto. No, it was the Mets, another goofy owner. Juan Soto, dude, getting $700 million, man.
Dude, the fucking Jaguars, they had the number one pick in the fucking draft, and then they had to go and win today. What the fuck is that shit? So the Khan family fucking up, you know, again, in a different medium. Do they still have Urban medium.
Meyer?
No, thank God.
No.
He's long gone.
No, good. A fucking idiot.
And Rob, fidgeting with the cord is how you break it.
No.
I believe that's something DJ taught you, right? When he had you fidget with his cord.
Oh, Jesus. If you think I'm going to get him there, you're fucking mistaken. So, yeah. I'm whoring myself out online with fucking Cameo. So if you'd like to see me be Donald Trump on Cameo at Boss Comedy, BOCE Comedy. And hell, I'll do whatever you want. I'll leave any kind of message you want, man. If you want Donald Trump, you know, I can make it very intimate.
You know, obviously you kind of pushed the Trump there, but you know, one of the things that I think that anyone who listens to a wrestling podcast should be kind of interested in getting Tony Khan to give cameos to.
Well, I got to get a Tony Khan wig, but okay. God. So we're looking right now into having all of the seats filled for All In Wembley Arena in Texas. It's going to be one of the biggest gates that anyone's ever seen in the industry. And Tony, what do you think? I think it's going to be a great match. This is going to be huge. And this is where they tell me the best come to wrestle. Yeah, shut up. Anyways, this is going to be one of the greatest matches ever, and we're going to have Tony Storm come back and wrestle Jade Cargill for the men's world heavyweight belt. Back to you, Tony.
You know, that is the best Chris Jericho promo I've ever heard, because that sounded exactly like his goddamn promo this fucking week.
That fucking promo. So hopefully people understood that was all deliberate and intentional, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Because obviously referring to New York as Sin City and the Big Easy and all that shit.
Yeah.
Obviously. Because I saw some shit online where people were like, oh, what's he doing? He's fucking the shit up.
Fucking up all the
no
names.
Shit. No. He's doing it deliberately. You fucks.
Yeah. I don't understand how. Yeah. It was like the split second, but then you're like, oh, wait a minute.
This whole character has been deliberate and making fun of everyone who watches
everything.
The product. And he's just genius for doing it. All right. Rob, final words, since, you know, you already plugged your cameo.
I will have a proper time, but I will have a show in January to be announced on that date again. You know, reach me on Cameo. And if I have anything coming up, you will find it on my socials at Boss Comedy.
Okay. And Steve, would you like to tell us about how great the troops are and how anyone listening can get some pee-pee?
Absolutely. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. As always, thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
That is the brand that DJ uses to, you know, storm through the night, man. He can just hunker down, and it gives him all of the energy and stamina needed to pay off those tickets and hit those streets hard.
Listen, our boy, is probably out there right now in his high heel slippers, all fuzzy and white.
You know what? I hear his kid wants to go to college, too. He might be out a little longer than we thought.
He might not even be able to make it to Mania.
Yeah, no, he's going to be in county. Come on, well, guys.
Maybe he'll see Dom there.
Oh, shit.
If DJ comes back to the show with a couple of teardrop tattoos.
High heel slippers, what the fuck? Well, you know, you don't know DJ.
Didn't see nothing yet.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
On that note, next week, actually, we will be doing a episode here that we recorded on some of the greatest managers of all time. So a little holiday fill-in for next week. And that is what's going on. So you'll see us probably one more time live this year before the end of the year. And thank you everyone for tuning in and hanging out with us tonight. And as DJ likes to say, happy wrestling, everyone, and $20 for a handy.